Good morning.
Good morning.
And Merry Christmas.
Merry
Christmas. The order of worship for this morning on this Christmas day is the one that is printed in your service bulletin. We begin with the scripture reading, as you see it there. I'd like to share that with you from Isaiah chapter 52, verses 7 through 10. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. The voice of your watchmen, they lift up their voice, together they sing for joy. For eye to eye they see the return of the Lord to Zion. Break forth together into singing, you waste places of Jerusalem. For the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord has bared his holy arm before the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. We sing hymn 361, stanzas 1 to 3. I invite you to stand for the responsive prayer as printed on page 1 and top of page 2. Lord Jesus Christ, true God, Son of the Father from eternity. At great cost, you ransomed and saved us lost and condemned creatures. It was purely your love and not any goodness on our part that moved you to leave your heavenly throne and come to earth for us.
You freed us from sin, death, and the power of the devil.
Not with gold or silver,
but with your holy, precious blood and your ransomed sufferings and death.
You redeemed us to be your own, to live under you in your kingdom. Just as you are risen from death and reign eternally.
This is most certain.
be seated. First of our Bible lessons on this Christmas festival day is the Christmas epistle recorded in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, "You are my son, today I have begotten you"? Or again, "I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son"? And again, when he brings the firstborn into the world, he says that all God's angels worship him. Of the angels, he says, he makes his angels winds and his ministers a flame of fire. But of the Son, he says, "Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of uprightness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions." Here ends the Christmas epistle. We sing the next hymn, 386, stanzas 1 and 2. Christmas gospel is found recorded in the Gospel of Matthew in the first chapter, Matthew's account of the Christmas story, written there, verses 18 through 25. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Hymn 374. Seated. In the name of the Bethlehem Christ Child, dear Christmas Day worshipers, Christmas, what joy the sound of that word brings to our hearts. Just the sound of Christmas brings us great joy wherever Christians are found. Also lightens up the sad things in our life and heightens the happy moments of our lives. At this festival, every Christian's heart is filled with good cheer at the commemoration of Jesus' birth. And we ask the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts on this Christmas day anew with the true spirit of Christmas, with love and gratitude to him who came down from heaven to visit us and to redeem us, his people. To that end, let us give prayerful attention to familiar prophecy, scripture from Isaiah, that might well be described as Isaiah's glorious Christmas proclamation. Isaiah 9, verse 6. What's that message? Well, Isaiah, one of the great prophets of the Old Testament, he lived about 8 centuries before Jesus. He stands in spirit, as it were, in Bethlehem's dark stable, and with eyes of faith, peers into the face of the newborn lying there in the manger. Just can't hold back. He's beside himself, and he breaks out and says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Isaiah 9, verse 6. Child sleeping on the manger hay, and Isaiah beholds this with his faith eyes, God's Son, only begotten of the Father from eternity, who left his rainbow-circled throne in heaven to become the flesh and blood brother of the citizens of earth. Through the working of the Holy Spirit, young Jewish maiden girl, who having found favor with God, has become the mother of the world's creator. What great wonder has ever occurred as this, friends, in the history of mankind? By the incarnation of Christ, truly granted an epiphany of God's all-embracing love for our fallen world, what we see in the manger, really the visible expression of that Bible verse we know so well, God so loved the world that he gave us his Son. Why was that necessary for all this to happen, what we celebrate today? Sad story to tell, friends, but it is necessary that we might appreciate fully the marvelous happening of the first Christmas. You know the story well, but let's recount it. Man, created in God's holy image, perfect and righteous. Man, the crown of the creation, he turned his back on his creator, and having listened to the seducing voice of the tempter, crashed and burned into sin. And man was transformed from being dearly loved child of God into an enemy of his, a slave of sin, destined for hell. And ever since, every person born in the sin-cursed world has been born not as a dear child of God, but as an enemy of God, not in God's holy image, but in Adam's sin-soiled image. The holiness of our first parents that they possessed when they left their Creator's hand became like a long-lost jewel. In its place came depravity, total depravity, body and soul, as the Bible plainly teaches. The intention, the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. And I know that nothing good dwells in me that is in my flesh, my sin nature. And the iniquities of man became an insurmountable barrier to ever enjoying a loving relationship with him and ever living in his holy presence again. And let's also recall the happenings on Sinai when God gave the Ten Commandments to man and demanded perfect compliance to them in thought, word, and deed. But in his fallen condition, man was helpless to do that. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, writes Isaiah later in his book. And having left the pathway of righteousness to the pathway of sin and insulted our God, offended his majesty and his glory, provoking his anger by non-compliance to the demands of his law, we became subjects. Well, you know, the wages of sin is death, both temporally and eternally, because the soul who sins shall die. And our condition became all the more deplorable, our situation oh so bleak, when we consider that no human, stress that, no human being could do anything to deliver himself or herself from his predicament. Being dead in sin, we could not redeem ourselves nor appease God's anger for our sins. The psalmist writes, truly no one, no man can ransom another or give to God the price of his life, for the ransom of their life is costly, and no payment is ever enough that he should live on forever and never see the pit of hell. Even the holy angels, spotless messengers of the Most High, could do nothing to help us. We were lost in sin hopelessly, irrevocably, if our salvation depended upon the intervention of a mere human being. It's when we've come to a full realization of this hopeless condition before our holy God, when we understand fully what the Scripture says, when it describes man's nature as being depraved and guilty that that's actually a description of me by nature too, all of us, that we can rightly comprehend the glory of Isaiah's Christmas proclamation to us. A child is born. To us, a son is given. So let's consider the sweet meaning now of Isaiah's message. Although our sins caused that impassable gulf to be placed between us and our holy Creator, God in His love didn't want us to perish, so He built a bridge to save us helpless ones who could not help ourselves. The God of infinite mercy decided, I have a plan, and I'm going to give you my son, my sinless son, in whom I delight, is going to become one of you. And he's going to be placed under the law for you. And he's going to fulfill the law in your stead. And he will take upon himself the guilt of your sin condition and suffer for it. And through his vicarious sufferings, he's going to make atonement for your sins and obtain for you a perfect holiness in which you may now stand in my holy presence. Isaiah outlines that plan. It's a good passage, too, to be reminded of, even on Christmas Day, from Isaiah 53. Surely he's borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. He was pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we have now been healed. Today, friends, we celebrate the anniversary of this Savior's appearance on earth, his being born, the Virgin Mary, at Bethlehem, roughly 2,000 years ago. The eternal I Am left his throne on high, assumed the form of a servant, was born in our likeness, embarked on his mission, which was to reconcile us sinners to our God. Well, the angel was proclaiming to the shepherds the greatest message the sinful world has ever heard. And while the multitude of the heavenly hosts sang the prettiest carol the world has ever heard, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men, the great I Am quietly entered time and space history. And 33 years later, abandoned his life on the cross with those words, "It is finished," which made Satan and his minions cower in fear, causes the hearts of all believers to swell with joy and delight. Also remember how the angel worded that announcement to the shepherds. It wasn't by happenstance. To you is born this day a Savior. When God's love came down at Christmas in the person of the Christ child, he had you in mind. The Word became flesh for you. He fulfilled God's law, the demands of the commandments for you, and gained for you perfect righteousness, suffering and dying on the cross for you, child in the manger, born for you, your Lord, your Redeemer from sin, from death, and from Satan's power. So look with wonder with your eyes of faith into the manger at the Christ cradled there, and see his tiny eyes, his button of a nose, and his heavenly smile. And having beheld him with your faith eyes, may your life then be lived in his service, thankfully, for his praise. And think about also how he's going to one day lead you into his eternal kingdom, where you're going to be blessed to see him face to face and sing his praises through endless ages. Oh, rejoice, ye Christians, loudly, for our joy has now begun. Wondrous things our God has done. Tell abroad his goodness proudly, who our race has honored thus, that he deigns to dwell with us. See, my soul, thy Savior, chooses weakness here and poverty. In such love he comes to thee. Neither crib nor cross refuses. All he suffers for thy good, to redeem thee by thy blood. Lord, how shall I thank thee rightly? I acknowledge that by thee I'm saved eternally. Let me not forget it lightly, but to thee at all times cleave, and my heart true peace receive. Joy, O joy, beyond all gladness, Christ has done away with sadness, hence all sorrow and repining, for the Son of Grace is shining. Merry Christmas. Amen. I invite you to stand and we sing the fourth stanza of that hymn that we sang earlier. Join in the responsive prayer as you find it printed on pages 3 and 4. Then we'll follow that responsive prayer with the Lord's Prayer sung to the melody of It Came Upon a Midnight Clear. Praise, honor, and glory to you, O Lord our God. With angels and archangels, we magnify your holy name. Even though we have no merit or worthiness within us,
you have given this Christmas to assure us of your steadfast love through the word of your eternal Son in human flesh.
For rejoicing more in earthbound gifts than your heaven-sent gift, forgive us, O Lord. Accept our thanks for the eternal gift conceived out of your love for the world and for bringing this divine truth to our ears and hearts.
Your gospel message of a Savior born for us is the best gift we receive at Christmas.
Bless us and all who rejoice with us in your Son's birth. Bless the spread of this Christmas message in the world.
May these glad tidings bring hope to the discouraged and peace to the troubled.
May the lonely and discouraged find comfort in the assurance of your peace in the Christ child. This we ask in the name of our Savior, Christ the Lord, in whose name we join our hearts in singing. Our Father, Lord, on heaven's high throne, most holy be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth in heaven the same. us this day the food we need. Forgiven may we be. Into temptation do not lead. From evil set us free. Yours is the kingdom unto you. In grateful love we bow. And yours the power, Lord, let us view our mighty presence now. The glory yours, your praise be sung by angel hosts and men. In every land, by every tongue, forevermore, amen. We know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that we through his poverty might become rich.
Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen. Amen. Amid the winter snow, born for us on earth below, see the gentle Lamb appears, promised from eternal years. Hail, O ever-blessed morn, hail, redemption's happy dawn, sing through all Jerusalem. Christ is born in Bethlehem. Lo, within a stable lies he who built the starry skies, he who throned in height sublime sits amid the cherubim. Hail, O ever-blessed morn, hail, redemption's happy dawn, sing through all Jerusalem. Christ is born in Bethlehem. Sacred infant, tender love was thine, thus to come from highest bliss down to such a world as this. Hail, O ever-blessed morn, hail, redemption's happy dawn, sing through all Jerusalem. Christ is born in Bethlehem. Teach, O teach us, holy child, by thy face so meek and mild, teach us to resemble thee in thy sweet humility. Hail, O ever-blessed morn, hail, redemption's happy dawn, sing through all Jerusalem, Christ is born in Bethlehem.